B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Monday, April 6th. It's a reentry Monday. It's presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Maz and I on remote. Big Jim Murray setting up in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We come to you on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England on NBC Sports Boston. Presenting sponsor on both is DraftKings. If you're watching on the simulcast, yeah, I'm in my backyard. Too nice of a day to do it inside. Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
Oh, just peachy. Thank you so much. You ready to talk some sports?
Hell yeah.
Okay. I think we had some pretty significant breaking speculation today, breaking rumor-mongering, informed rumor-mongering and speculation, in fact, I would say. I think this was borderline bombshell material. And Jimmy Stewart, if you're ready to go, just let me know. This was this morning. And for all the crap you give me for my Greenberg obsession, if it wasn't for him and that show, I don't know where we'd be, Maz. I don't know what sort of content we'd have, pal.
Yeah, you got that right.
Okay, so he's got Todd McShay on today, draft expert. And I think this was, borderline bombshelly. So, Grimwald, you hear the question, you'll hear the whole exchange. Jimmy, roll it in and let's react.
Let's start with Stidham. Take us back to a year ago. Do you project him to be a high-level NFL starting quarterback during his career? Do you think he can be the answer for Belichick long-term?
He was a great backup, in my opinion, coming out of college at Auburn, and had a chance to be developed into a starter. Now, you go back and you watch him against your Jets. They threw him in that game. He threw an interception. Bill got annoyed and pulled him out and put Tom Brady back in the game. They were up by about 50 points. So from everyone I talk to in the organization, they're excited about his development. He has so much potential. He is gifted. He's been through a lot in his life. He's got some character and some grittiness and toughness to him, but he's not ready yet. I mean, that's the bottom line. He is not ready to lead the New England Patriots, in my opinion. Brian Hoyer's there, and he's a really good backup, but they're going to have to make a decision on what to do in terms of, is it bringing in a veteran like Andy Dalton to kind of stem the tide between now and when Stidham is ready, or is it drafting another quarterback that they think is going to bring competition and potentially outplay Stidham at that number one quarterback position? So it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. But the one thing I know from talking to people inside the organization, it's all about patience and waiting to see how the market plays out and not jumping into something too early when they're not ready for it.
Okay. So this really goes counter to everything that has been reported locally and really the tide here locally among the Patriots reporters. Among the Patriots reporters, and I think it's what they're being told. I don't think, they all came out of this out of nowhere. I think the organization's been putting out there here locally, it's Stidham, it's Stidham, it's Stidham, it's Stidham, it's Stidham. Now here comes Todd McShay, national guy, sort of out of left field, but tapped, and he says it. Everyone I talk to in the organization. He ain't making that up, folks. So he's talking to someone somewhere, and it made it sound like multiple people, led him to believe Jared Stidham is not ready yet. So, Maz, how do we read this? What's going on here?
Well, so to me, again, this gets back to something that Greg Bedard was saying, at the end of the season, which is that if Stidham is not ready, he might still be as much as a year away. And that is what Bedard was telling us at that point, if you remember. It was they feel he's on a similar trajectory to Garoppolo, and Garoppolo did not play until year three. Stidham right now is entering year two, which means the Patriots have a year to fill at least in the middle there. And I hear that, and I say, well, if McShay has good info, that he's hearing it from the same place that someone like Greg Bedard was hearing it. And to me, you know, I don't think it's realistic to think that you're going to draft a guy where they are, have him come in, and all of a sudden take over. So now you got to go a veteran guy. I think this introduces Cam Newton. If I'm still okay with Andy Dalton if he
there
gets
we
released.
Go. Go ahead.
Well, I told you this. My first choice is if Stidham is ready, I want Stidham and I want a young guy in the draft. But if Stidham's not ready, how can we possibly assume that the guy they draft this year is going to be ready?
Okay, so first of all, the first thing we have to determine is if the report's on the level or do you think someone's playing a game? Do you think someone's playing a game?
Yeah, that's what I think is happening.
Go ahead, Murray. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't buy this for a second. And for one, hearing that clip, too, McShay certainly doesn't sound confident in what he's saying because he's stammering every other word. There's probably still very pro-Brady people there that can't believe he didn't come back and that the Patriots and Belichick and Kraft didn't bend over backwards to bring him back and retire a Patriot. So there's some people that, and I understand why they would feel that way. So that's maybe who he's talking to. And I don't buy it. I don't think that they actually have any real interest in any of these retread guys that are out there, whether it's they trade for Dalton or Dalton shakes free with Cincinnati, or you sign Cam Newton, who's still out there, or Jameis Winston, ugh, God forbid. I think that they're, you know, playing possum a little bit here. I do think that they'll probably end up drafting someone to push Stidham, but I take it at face value in that Stidham is the guy, and they've been trying to push this now for almost a year because they started last year in camp.
Okay, playing possum to who or to what end?
And that they're not interested in any of these quarterbacks, and maybe they're going to try to make a play for one. Hell, maybe they even end up taking one at 23. Maybe there's someone that they really like. That's what I think it's more about than anything else. I don't think it has anything to do with any of these veteran quarterbacks.
Okay, well, I mean, I think you're sniffing around it, Murray. You're close. Could they be trying to motivate Stidham? You know, tell him, hey there, kid, you know, this job ain't yours, and we don't consider it yours. And you're going to have to prove it in the offseason, and so just slow your roll. And I mentioned this, Murray, last week or the week before when Julian Edelman sort of had his about face on Instagram, and he was like, Patriot forever.
Yeah.
And Jared Stidham immediately sausage emojied him or something, like, you know, LFG. And I remember saying to myself at the time, like, huh. You think you're the guy, don't you there, Jared? You know, I mean, so you're, yeah, come on, Julian, it's you and me. I'm like, well, that's assuming you got the job. And to me, the only guy they would be trying to position Maz or to leverage would be Stidham. Why else would they put out those conflicting messages? You got a conspiracy theory for me.
Well, so, no, I mean, Stidham is the easy choice there. I think, though, they, you know, they might have been able to goose him when they brought Hoyer back. They could certainly goose him by bringing another guy in via the draft. So I don't know what the right answer is. I happen to think there's a chance that they believe Stidham won't be ready. I think that's part of the reason Hoyer's here, is that they looked at it and said, we need somebody who at least has some starting experience. Hoyer's familiar with the operation. And so, like, the idea that this is just a play and somebody, you know, maneuvering and leveraging someone and, you know, manipulating someone, I don't think that's entirely true. I think that there's a chance Stidham is not ready for this job.
Of course. Of course I think there's a chance. Hard to know, right? We're all sort of guessing. But if Stu's going to make us make a prediction and take a stand on the thing, I'm going to take McShay at face value because I'm going to tie it to the fact that I do think they were ready to bring back Brady for 1 year. I think the ultimate plan was to have Brady cave, turn down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and come back for one more year on some crappy deal. And they almost got it. They almost nailed it. That almost happened. But Brady at the end surprised him and told him to pound sand. So they were more than prepared to have Stidham wait one more year. So if they're going to have Stidham wait one more year for Brady, why wouldn't they wait one more year for a veteran guy who's going to come dirt cheap? And that's, you know, that's what I keep getting stuck on. And that's why I sort of, you know, stopped in my tracks last week with Cam Newton and Jameis Winston. It's like, those are top picks. And at one time, top talents that you get for virtually nothing. Since when do the Patriots pass up that kind of deal? Especially when they have a need. So whether it's one of those guys, or Dalton, or who the hell knows, maybe they are waiting for the, you know, just that cheapest model, and that's what they're going for, because the plan all along was to have Stidham wait one more year, and we're just going to plug in player X, Y, or Z, and get him that one more year. So, the thing is, Stidham's still the guy, Maz. Stidham's still the guy.
In the long term, right.
He's just not the guy for 2020, and that's been the plan all along, and McShay's hearing it, and for... I mean, so then you know, who are they leading astray? The local guys? Were they leading astray the local guys, the Howes? And, you know, Kern's been big on this. And Kern's, you know, usually money in the bank. Are they – is that a PR play by the Patriots? Hey, we didn't need Brady. We had Sidham in the back pocket all – you know, what's the angle there? I'm trying to get the angle because there's two different things going out there.
Okay, so look, I think there were a couple angles if you're the Patriots. One is the PR game, as you said. The other angle is, let's say, and let's go back to the Peter King reports, which is that Belichick would love to coach Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton has a, you know, pretty good-sized salary and is still a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. Maybe the Patriots have inquired. Dalton has given no indication that he would redo his contract. And so they say, well, you know, we're not doing it unless you redo the contract. So I think, you know, there's all types of stuff coming out because I think that, frankly, the Patriots could go in any one of a million different directions still. Deep down, I think they believe that Stidham really needs another year. That's what I think. And if you're asking me to you know, what would I feel in my gut? Yeah, I think that they look at Stidham and say, really, 2 years is what we need with a guy like that. So we'll bring back Hoyer, and worst case, we put Hoyer out there, and we'll see what happens. And then in the interim, we'll see who shakes loose. Maybe Dalton changes his mind, or Cincinnati releases him, and then we have a clean crack at him.
Okay, there you go, Murray. There's that name again, McShay. Again, he only mentions one name. He only mentions one veteran out there, one guy. There's only one name in his mouth, Andy Dalton. Here he comes. Here comes the red rifle there, Murray. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, if it's to happen, I'm ready to boo them and burn whatever Patriots garb I have left.
Murray, are you doing the postgame shows again?
I mean, who the hell knows? Will I have a job by then?
No. Assuming we're still here. Assuming, right. I mean,
to my knowledge, yes.
Okay, well, you're going to have to watch the game. You can't turn your back to the field. You're going to have to watch the game and then take calls on the game in the postgame and assess the performance of Patriots quarterback Andy Dalton. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready as a professional to do my job, but I will hate them with every fiber of my being if Andy Dalton is the quarterback of that team next year.
I got to tell you, you know, like you like your sports schadenfreude, this is what I'm sort of looking forward to. I mean, again, the balls. It's one thing to let Brady walk out the door and say, well, we got a kid that we're developing and, you know, he may not be totally ready, but we drafted him, we liked him, and we'll just go to that next thing. It's another to go from Tom Brady to Andy freaking Dalton. I mean, and I'll tell you this, for all the talking I did of Cam Newton and Jameis Winston last week, I just want to raise the possibility. If I get to choose, if I get to rank them, Dalton, Newton, Winston, that's my order. Dalton, Newton, Winston. I want Andy Dalton more than those other guys. Am I crazy about that?
I mean, they all suck in their own different ways, but I would put Newton ahead of Dalton.
Well, I think that of those three, Dalton might be the most coachable, and he might be the best fit for their system.
Thank you.
And so, you know, to me, I probably lean Dalton there.
So there's my point, right? I want next year to be about Bill. And I think if you bring – and I'll look, Cam Newton's a great talent, and that would be fun as hell, so I'm not going to, you know, rip him if they bring in Cam Newton. But if it's about Bill, then Andy Dalton is my guy. If Cam Newton comes in here and starts running around like a maniac and making all sorts of plays on his own, then it's less about the coaching, and it sort of makes for a less clean argument. The Andy Dalton thing, woo, you can win with that guy? Ha, wow, now we're talking. That's how we're starting, folks. Jimmy, if you've disinfected and wiped down the hounds, you may release them at 617-779-0985. So Todd McShay says, Jared Stidham, not ready. Not the guy. Contrary to everything we've heard here for the last couple weeks, big national guy comes in over the top rope and says, no, sir, he's not ready. And they're going to be patient. They're going to be wait for whatever falls from the tree in the veteran ranks. How do you feel about that at 617-779-0985? You know what else came in the mail on Friday? See what I'm holding up here? Oh, here it comes, fellas. Here it comes, folks. The return of the Felge and Maz big board.
The board knows.
The Athlon Sports 2020 Draft Guide. We got the Ohio State defensive end there, Chase Young, on the cover. This one I got Joe Burrow on the cover. Lindy's Sports Pro Football Draft. I got our draft magazines. It's going to be a little bit of a different format, obviously, because we're not all in studio hucking markers at each other. Today I'm going to have my daughter huck markers at me out here on the back patio. See what we come up with. We'll do guards later on. Today we're starting it. It's a little early. So we're going to spend an extra week or so on the big board. Can you blame us in these times? A little bit of a search for content. But I don't think we need it today. The Stidham thing to me is kind of real, and that name came up again, Andy Dalton. Your thoughts right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mass.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
I have no idea, neither do you, who Bill Belichick sits in his office, feet up on the desk, watching tape of who he says, I really like that guy. Whether or not the rest of the league likes him or not. One of the guys I think, and I know these people are going to laugh at this, I think Bill Belichick would really like to work with Andy Dalton, you know, because wow. Andy Dalton is, he's a football player, you know, and he's not Tom Brady. He's not going to go down in the pantheon. I get it. Guys who are going to go down in the pantheon at age 32 are not available. Okay. But Russell Wilson's not available. But I think Andy Dalton would be a very compelling guy to be a bridge, either to be their quarterback for a while or to be their bridge guy to the next quarterback.
Boy, we played that so often. That originally aired. Peter King originally said that, Jimmy. The date was January 9th. Is that right?
That is correct, sir.
January 9th. That was like 4 days after that Titans game. It was a couple days after the Titans game, and he said that, and we clipped it, and we played it at a time. Like, where the hell is this coming from? And it's coming from somewhere. It's coming from somewhere. And I wonder if they're just, are they waiting for Andy Dalton? Is that what it is? They're waiting. They're patiently waiting for Andy Dalton. And there is a subtext here. And the subtext is that the Bengals coaches, Zach Taylor, former president Zach Taylor, freaking hates Bill Belichick because of the cheating thing. Remember how bent out of shape the Bengals coaches were about the filming thing up in the press box? And that sure. thing still hasn't been resolved, if you can believe it. That's still hanging out there. And, you know, Bill, though, has a great relationship with the Browns, apparently. So Bill's good with the Brown family, which is the family that owns the team and the executives, you know, one of the classic Spalding Smales organizations in all the sports. The Brown family is just... You know, again, look at their family masthead. Look at their team masthead. It's all Browns. But Bill's good with them. But the coaches hate him because the cheating thing. And it's like, well, they got to do it. So I wonder if there's a piece in there with that. Is there like one big master agreement they all have to come to and settle all that business? But that Andy Dalton thing, that won't die if we're to believe Todd McShay. And I don't know why you wouldn't. A good reporter. Okay, your reaction, as promised, 617-779-0985. Chris and Raynham, lead us off.
Hey, guys, at this point, it's really getting difficult to root for the Patriots. I completely agree. I completely agree with Big Jim. I've called you guys for years. You've called me Patriots footy pajama fan, and it's just I don't know what they're doing. The Stidham stuff seemed like straight propaganda after Brady left because they were all over the place with how great he was, and now we hear this. If Andy Dalton is really the plan, what does that say about the Patriots? They had no backup for Gronk when he left. Gronk was going to be gone for years. You knew it for at least 2 years. They had no plan. So they had no plan for Brady. And Felger, you keep praising Belichick. He has destroyed this roster. And you keep praising him, how you want him to be the next guy. I would have much rather taken 2 years of Brady, get rid of Belichick, and move on, because Belichick is not pointing us in the right direction.
So I guess...
If you play around for 2 years, say these next 2 years, the Patriots don't do well and they're fiddling around trying to find a quarterback, then you can say they should have kept Brady because you wasted those 2 years. Can you agree with that? How do you decide if this was right or wrong? At the end of the day, how do you decide?
Chris, stop talking, and I'll answer you. Yes, if after 2 years they're still futzing around for a quarterback, then they would have blown the transition. I mean, I feel like they kind of blew it to begin with. I mean, they either should have gone with Garoppolo or extended Brady when they had the chance a couple years ago. And so they're sort of in between here. But let's see. I'm just surprised you, as such a great Patriots loyalist, aren't more confident in Belichick. Why don't you trust him?
Because of the last 2 years, he's blown up this roster. Why are we not talking about why they have $26 million in dead cap space or why there's no young talent on this team? Brady is going to win in Tampa Bay because he has young talent. Belichick put so much emphasis on that defense last year to the point that it was fourth and three at almost the 50-yard line. And
let me tell you why, Chris. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what's going on with the Patriots roster. Is, you know, sheep like you, we're led to believe the Patriots had some sort of master formula and some sort of master plan with their roster, that they were master cap manipulators and they always made the right decision and they were smart with their money. And it's a lie. It's bull crap. Every team, including this one, a couple of times, has these waves and have these they have a run, then they have to reset. Then you have a run, then you kind of reset. You win, your roster gets old, you reset it. It happens to everyone in every sport. It's happened here a couple times, but Bill's such a good coach and Brady's such a freaking great quarterback that you still, and the competition was so pathetic that you still won at a fairly high level when you had those resets. But you've had them a couple of times and you're having one now. And there was some roster mismanagement in there and some cap mismanagement, as happens to everybody. But you people were somehow led to believe that the Pats were impervious to it. It's ridiculous. You're not impervious to it, and they're sort of going through it right now. Just like all these other teams have had to reset when they go on their runs. Boy, did you people, look at the Ravens. Look at how stupid they are. They have to reset. And look at the Broncos and how stupid they are. They're losing all their players. Look at the Jets. No, no. It happens to every team, including you, and that's what you're facing right now. That's my rant, Maz.
Okay, but so, but I'll give Chris credit for this, because I did think that he was a, you know, hardcore footy pajama Patriots fan. There's no question about it. That guy, more than anybody, gets his freaking, his butt cheeks tightened up every time we say a negative word about the Patriots. And I say that because I give him credit. At least he can look at the reality of it now and say, yes, they have a lot of dead cap money. Yes, they have drafted poorly. So now they're in a bit of a roster predicament because Brady's not there anymore. The only part I disagree with him on is they have the right guy to try to lead him out of it. Okay, they have the right guy. So Belichick isn't perfect, but he's still, to me, a hell of a lot better than anybody else when you add in the coaching component. And I'm talking about the whole package of GM slash coach, because he can coach up his draft mistakes, and he can improve the roster just with his acumen as a coach. But so I'll take my chances with Belichick on the sideline.
Me too. But it's also the nature of the beast. And some other people around here were led to believe that you were somehow, like, it happened in 05, 06. It happened in that range. You had to reset the roster. It happened 2010, 2011. You had to reset. It happens. It happens to every team in every sport. It's just the nature of the beast. You're not impervious to it. John in Stone. Jimmy, would you help me? I froze up here. Line three. He joins us next. Andy Dalton, Cam Newton. Who do you want, John?
Listen, I want Cam Newton. I hate Andy Dalton. The only way I want him in New England is if he shows up in a tractor trailer filled with hand sanitizer. All right, I don't like that guy. He's a worthless pile of red hair. And Murray, don't worry about losing your job. I'm sure Felga always needs some yard work done.
Okay, again, the red hair thing. Why do we hold it against the ginger? You can drop him, Jimmy. Thank you for the call.
We've been over this, that there's not many accomplished professional athletes that are gingers.
I mean, this poor guy, he's got his skin complexion held against him more than the African-American quarterback. How's that? How's that for a switch in, you know, our societal, you know, the way we look at things now? But the thing is, with Dalton, I think he's a better fit for the team. I mean, Newton's a better talent, better player, like, obviously. But if it's a one-year, I mean, look, I think there's cases to be made for both. I told you last week I'd take Newton. I think they're going to look at Winston. You know, like, I've talked about all these guys, you know, those big talents for a cheap price are going to be hard to pass up. I just think if it's really about going back to the system, then Dalton's your guy over Cam Newton, Maz.
So look, again, I just think of those three, he's the most coachable. Like, I just think Winston doesn't get it. I think Newton gets it, certainly a hell of a lot more than Winston does, but he's got a massive ego, and so Belichick's not going to mesh with that all that much. To me, Dalton is sort of, you know, the one that is most coachable. He might be the least talented of the three, but hell, Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. There were more quarterbacks more talented than him available in that draft. I just think Belichick and Dalton as a marriage fits together.
Okay, Todd McShay says Stidham not the guy this year. So what does that mean? They're going to be patient and wait to see what shakes out. Is that a veteran or is that the draft? We pick up your thoughts on it after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
All right, again, we're talking about this Todd McShay report this morning on ESPN that the Patriots, according to people he's spoken to in the organization, do not believe Jared Stidham will be ready this year. Again, this runs counter to a lot of the local reporting we've heard in the last couple weeks. And so someone's being played, which is okay. That's the way that goes. But presuming Todd McShay is right and they don't believe Stidham is ready, they still like him. They see the progress and they want him and they like him. But he's not ready. And they're going to be patient to wait to see what shakes free. Do you think, Murray, I'll start with you. Do you think that means veteran or the draft, and what do you want?
I'm hoping it's the draft. I think it's the draft, and that's what I personally want. Again, I've been steadfast with this. I don't want any of these loser retreads, especially the big three that keep being mentioned. Andy Dalton, who sucks. Cam Newton, who once was good but is broken down. And Jameis Winston, who's the worst. So hopefully they're drafting. But again, I do still feel like if they use 23, their first overall pick to draft a quarterback, Bill doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Like, it's throw something at the wall, hope something sticks.
Maz, how would you answer that question?
So at the end of the day, here's what I want. Here's what I've settled on, okay? I want the Patriots to carry three quarterbacks in 2020. I want a veteran guy, and I want two picks, okay? When I say picks, meaning Stidham was a pick. Okay, so I want them to draft a quarterback, and if they were to go get someone like Dalton, then you cut Hoyer. Okay, I don't want Dalton and Hoyer on the roster. To me, that's useless. So, but I want competition for Stidham. I think that's really important, and I think you need a veteran guy there as some sort of stopgap and safety measure so that, you know, in a worst-case scenario, you have someone going on the field that has some experience.
Okay, I want Stidham to be the guy, but not necessarily this year. It doesn't have to be this year. I would hate to think that they don't have the guy now or in the future, and they have to go back into the draft this year or next, because I don't want to keep putting this off, you know? So, and what I mean by that is, you know, casting about for the guy. Is he the guy? Is he not the guy? If they think Stidham's the guy, but he's just not quite ready, and what's best for his development is to wait one more year, Then good God, give me Andy Dalton, give me Cam Newton, give me even Jameis Winston, Murray. Just give me someone like that to take the pressure off Stidham for one more year. Hell, I think they'd win with Hoyer, but if I can do better than Hoyer, I'll do better than Hoyer. And so I want Stidham to be the guy, but I don't mind if we have to wait one more year to get there. If they draft like Jordan Love this year, or one of these guys this year, now he's got to go through the whole development thing, and then is it this kid or is it Stidham? Like, then I feel it's murky. Then I feel there was no plan. If they bring in Dalton just because they think Stidham needs one more year, well, that's still a plan, right? That's still sort of consistent. If they went back into the draft this year or next, oh, I'd feel like they're just fishing now. You know, and I don't want them fishing.
I think it would reek of desperation if they're to take one of these guys that are on the street. You know, Dalton gets cut, or any of these other losers that are out there in the next few weeks, or as it gets closer to the season, whatever the hell that's going to happen. That would reek of desperation to me by Belichick. And that, what's the real important thing here? Because if you're such a good coach, and you, along with McDaniels, this offensive genius, shouldn't you be able to bring Stidham along and protect him and focus more on the running game. You've spent all this money in the offensive line. If you guys are the coaches that everyone says that you are, you should be okay with that. Okay, he might not be ripe enough yet to start, but you guys, with your coaching acumen, should be able to bring him along. You bring in a Dalton or Cam Newton. What's it really about? You got to have a better record than the Tampa Bay Bucks this year. You got to, you know, get these wins, rack up wins, so you can finally get Shula's win record in the next handful of years. I would hate that, because that's what it would be like to me.
So I want another quarterback in the draft, though. See, I disagree. This is where I disagree with you, Mike.
Yeah.
I look at it and say, you know, now I don't want a first rounder, okay? Because I feel like that's going to be a wasted pick. I feel like there's great uncertainty there at 23. You know, whether it's Love or Eason or whoever that is available to them, that comes with some risk. So if there's risk in the pick, I just assume take him in the third or fourth round. I'll wait until then, but I want another quarterback in the draft.
Okay, folks, we are starting our draft analysis. The Felger Mass Big Board will be coming out later on in the 3 o'clock hour. I got my draft Maggies. So we're going to really start ramping up the draft talk. What do you want them to do in the first round? What do you want them to do, Maz Murray? Maz, you go first.
Offensive line. I told you, I want offensive line. I'm still worried about their offensive line play. I'm worried about Andrews. It's not like we're talking about a guy coming back from a knee surgery. This guy had a blood clots in his lungs, missed the whole season. That's a scary proposition. So I think that's I would draft on the interior of the offensive line because it gives them some flexibility. You know, then they can trade Tooney. They can, you know, maybe it's a guy who could play guard or center that they draft. But to me, they got to fortify that area.
I say linebacker. If you look at any of these mocks around where they're at 23, there's, you know, one of two good ones that I think you could get. Patrick Queen out of LSU, Kenneth Murray, no relation, out of Oklahoma. And that's obviously a need considering you lost 3 out of 4 of them this year to free agency.
I'll go speed on defense, and that could be anywhere. I think they need to get younger and playmaking at safety. I'd take one of those guys. I'd take an edge player, Murray, with you. I'd take a linebacker, fine. Speed on D is where I would go. That would be my first choice. How about a sample of what they've been predicted to take? And again, draft Maggies, they're out. They can be a little bit dated, but what the heck. Athlon Sports, their NFL draft preview, has the Patriots at number 23 taking Murray. Yeter Gross-Matos, is that how you pronounce it?
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Defensive end Penn State. Gross-Matos has the size, power, and motor to be a solid three-down edge defender as a pro. He just needs a bit of refinement. That's what Athlon has. Let's see, my Lindy's mock draft has the Patriots taking Matt Hennessy. He's the offensive lineman from Temple, Maz. Smart, agile, big enough to handle switching to guard if needed. Oh, good, another combo tackle guard. Is that really what you want? Hennessy might be the comfort Pats fans need this offseason. That's really what you want.
Yeah, I do, believe it or not. I typically could fall asleep when you talk about taking fatties in the first round of the draft. But in this particular case, the Patriots need fatties. They didn't have enough fat guys last year.
Okay, you better not fall asleep this time. We're picking guards. Felger has big board in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll be shooting for guards. Young Tess Felger, about a 4'11". She runs about an 8-second in the 40. She's going to come out here and chuck markers at me. Again, going through the mocks, Patriots.com does a good thing. They put together all the mock roundup of all what different mockers have the Patriots picking. So they go through their roundup. Mel Kiper, NFL, or ESPN, obviously. Mel Kiper has the Patriots taking Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State. Just, again, the little that I've seen and the little I start to look at him, oh, man, I feel like he's a couple years on the bench. Like, he's so raw. I mean, he's, again, Josh Allen is a great comp. Like, he's just got a rifle, and he's huge, and he can move, and Kaepernick, Josh Allen, like, he feels like that kind of guy. And so all that raw ability, but God, I feel like that is a project.
I hate that pick.
Yeah, I don't like that pick either. Kevin Hansen, Sports Illustrated, has the Patriots taking A.J. Epinesa?
Iowa.
Defensive end out of Iowa. A.J. Epinesa, and you know me and these names. It's a adventure every time. Sports Illustrated of Epinesa says, while not a speed rusher, Epinesa could remind Bill Belichick of one of his former players, Trey Flowers. The former Hawkeye wins with a blend of power, length, technique, and heavy hands, Maz. Heavy hand? What the hell does that mean? He's got heavy hands.
Well, it means he's very overbearing to people.
He's heavy-handed.
Yeah, he's a goon. He's
heavy hands. That's a new one. Heavy hands. F out of here with that. Heavy hands. What does that mean? God, these magazines. This is normally why we mock the mock drafts and we mock pre-draft analysis. This year, we're going to have to embrace it because we have, you know, again, for obvious.
Does it say anything about his ass? Like, I'd prefer if it said heavy-handed and fat ass.
Oh, but these freaking heavy hands. Get the F. Yeah, we took him in the first round because he's got heavy hands. F you. Seriously, these draft analysis. Oh, God, normally I'd crap all over this stuff. This year, we need it. Patriots.com, their mock draft has them taking Malik Harrison, linebacker, Ohio State. Okay, there's another one. I'll take that. CBS Sports, Chris Tapazzo. CBS Sports has them taking Justin Jefferson, wide receiver, LSU. Tapazzo's analysis of Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver out of LSU. Jefferson is, again, here we go. Jefferson is a wiggly slot receiver with serious speed, who'll give New England more explosiveness on offense. Wiggly, Maz. Let's take it out of the first round. Wiggly.
If they take a wide receiver in the first round, 2 years in a row, I'll be shocked. Like, I saw some of these wide receiver projections. I've all but eliminated them because I can't see them taking a wide receiver in the first round 2 years in a row.
I mean, I wish that they had waited because this is the year to do it. This is as deep it is at that position, like, in my lifetime. There could be literally five that go in the first round.
Okay, Pete Prisco, our buddy at CBS Sports, has the Epinesa fella from Iowa, as does McShay. McShay's last mock has the Patriots taking Epinesa of Iowa. So that feels like he's got a little bit of a consensus feel to him right there. So there we go. Your thoughts. What do you want them to do? And does the news, I'll put in air quotes, you know, the Stidham speculation tie into that? Do you want them going quarterback in this draft? Is that the plan to go quarterback in this draft? McShay has a name for him, by the way, has a name for us to peruse at that quarterback position. You'll hear that, and then we'll go back to your phones at 617-779-0985.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If Bill wants to take a quarterback in the second round or the third round, Todd, who are we talking about?
Jacob Eason from Washington, who got beat out by Jake Fromm at Georgia, is the most talented of that second tier quarterback, I should say, in this year's class. He's big, he's strong-armed, he can make all the throws. I just don't see him being a fit. I don't see him being in that quarterback room and being able to have those conversations that Tom Brady has had for, 15, 20 years with Bill Belichick. I think Jake Fromm makes a lot of sense, but he doesn't have the physical tools that you would ideally look for. But if you're going to bring in Andy Dalton, I would rather have Jake Fromm because he's the same guy physically, and he's younger, and he understands the game at a high level. Of all the quarterbacks I've sat down and talked to in the last 2 years in college football, in the meeting room, like just getting to know them, watching them, listening to what they're saying in response to one play to the next, Jake Fromm is the smartest, most mature quarterback that I've been around in the last 2 years. So Fromm would make a lot of sense, even though physically he doesn't have the tools that you're looking for. And he's struggled in bad weather in New England. Obviously, that's an issue.
Okay, before we get back to your phones, Maz, that's your guy, Jake Fromm from Georgia. You like him?
Yeah, I just like the profile. Again, a guy that excelled as a young player. Maybe his growth has stagnated. And I say young player as a freshman at Georgia. Maybe he's gone sideways. Maybe he's gone backwards. But the big thing is what McShay said. He's smart. And so, to me, you have almost zero chance of being a great quarterback if you're not smart. Okay, like zero, even a good quarterback. And so I'll take Smart. I think if you have Smart, you can overcome some of the other stuff. Whereas you mentioned Jeff George, I think it was last week. Jeff George threw the best ball I've ever seen anybody throw. He had a howitzer for an arm. It was a perfect spiral every time he chucked it, but he was a meathead, and he was useless. I'll take the guy with the brain.
Okay, so lead item, McShay in that same interview said Jared Stidham will not be the people he's spoken to in the Patriots organization say Jared Stidham will not be ready this year, and the Pats are patiently waiting to see what shakes out later on in the offseason. Veteran draft, what does that mean? So that's the lead item. We continue with your thoughts, CJ in Attleboro. Hi, CJ.
Yeah, hey, guys. So my question is, if McDaniels' offense is so complex and nuanced, why would anybody think that they're going to bring in a veteran quarterback, whether it be Winston or Newton or even Andy Dalton, and start them over Stidham or Hoyer, who are familiar and know the offense, especially with a shortened offseason? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks,
okay,
guys.
Okay, Maz, it's an easy answer. You want to answer it?
Yeah, well, to me, the big thing is that no matter who you're bringing in now, there's very little experience in their operation. So Stidham's been there for a year. Like, I just think the gap between Brady and everybody else was enormous. Now you get everybody on the same level, and they're all willing to work together.
Well, so my answer, and then you've sort of hit on it there, is that the Patriots' offense isn't complicated. Brady made it so because he was so advanced in it and at such a different level that, you know, he was speaking Mandarin Chinese, and everyone else was just learning to speak the language. And it's like they couldn't communicate because Brady's the one that made it complicated. And some of it, most of it, not his fault. He was just that advanced in it, and no one else was. So you sort of take out that element. They can all sort of start back at square one. We'll see if it was McDaniels that was too complicated or Brady was just too conversant in it compared to everybody else.
I mean, to me, again, the key phrase, and especially now, dumb it down. Dumb it down so that they can start at ground zero.
Tony and Holbrook, you're up next on Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make one quick comment. I, for one, don't believe Brady that he has something to prove. I mean, let's be honest. He's won the ultimate present for playing football. I mean, six Super Bowls, what more do you want?
So I don't think it's anything to prove either. I think he's just like 99% of these guys, they don't quit the sport until they're fired. And that is just amazing, Maz. We know we've seen it in all the things that we've covered and all the teams we've covered. That applies certainly to the mid-tier guys and the lower-rung guys, but it applies to the greats of the greats too. I mean, you name a great of the great that walked away early. They all walk away late. All of them. All of them. All of them. All of them. Even all the quarterbacks walked away late. And I know, you know, like John Elway won at the end, but he won the same player. He won the same guy. And it's like, maybe it's as simple as that Brady's just falling into that thing.
Yeah, look, you know, there aren't many. I mean, I've heard people argue, don't leave the stage until they drag you off. And, you know, that it's worth spending every minute out there that you can. And if that's the logic, I don't necessarily have a hard time accepting that. But so, I will say that Brady's case is different just because of all the winning.
And, right, but like there's more reason to walk away, and he still can't do it, still can't bring himself to do it. And I'm just picking my way. He posted. I don't know who wrote it. Maybe he wrote it. Maybe he, whatever, got help. But on the Players Tribune, a big, long takeout piece by Tom Brady that broke this afternoon, "The Only Way Is Through," is what the headline is. I'm just picking my way through it. I just got to this paragraph, so it maybe ties into that question the caller just had. He said, "For me, playing football isn't going to last another 10 years. In the time I have left, the question is, how can I keep maximizing what I do, put everything I can into it, make it the best I possibly can? At this point in my career, the only person I have to prove anything to is myself. Physically, I'm as capable of doing my job as I've ever been. Now I want to see what more I can do. I want to see how great I can be. I want to hear other people say, 'Go, man. Now that's what we've been missing. That's what we need. That's what we've been looking for. Deep down, I know what I can do. I know what I can bring. Now I want to see it in action.'" You've been reading this thing too, Murray. Is there any other hints? Like, I mean, I like.
I think there's some money shots at Belichick in this thing.
Go ahead.
Feels that way. Yeah.
Playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a change, a challenge, an opportunity to lead and collaborate, and also to be seen and heard. Huh. Oh, so you're saying like, what's that old that old adage there? Children are to be seen and not heard. Is that kind of how Belichick has treated Tom Brady here over the last 20 years, and that's why Tom is fed up? I mean, based on what we've heard, that probably seems accurate, right? So now he gets to be more of a contributor behind the scenes and in the film room with his new coach and new teammates in Tampa. Another one, Brady, of course, who, you know, he helped sell himself to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, almost desperately so, said the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, have welcomed me as one of their own. He added, they want to listen to what I have to say. I'm excited to be embraced fully for what I can bring to the Bucs. In turn, I'm ready to embrace fully a team that is confident in what I do and what I bring and is willing to go on this ride with me. I think those are some not so subtle shots at the old grump.
What do you think?
Oh, there's no two ways about it. Again, what he's saying there is, look, at the end, the Patriots didn't believe that I was still playing at the same level, that I can play at the same level, have the same kind of passion. And I found an organization that was willing to invest in me and listen to me and believes that I can do it. So here we go. I mean, to me, that's how I read it.
Yeah, I think Brady's gotten a little needy here in his old age. He's gotten a little diva-ish. I don't know exactly what word to use there, but I think he's gotten a little... I don't know. Needy is maybe just the word. Superstar needy. And certainly it's not the worst I've ever seen. He ain't, you know, he's not turning into some sort of a-hole or something. But this thing's definitely sort of crept in to his experience, right? He needs to be heard. He needs to be seen. He needs to be appreciated. For crying out loud. Well, you know, what happened to show up, do your job, win your games, and go home? Like, that's not enough for him. He needs some sort of treatment, some sort of special treatment. Like, I feel like that. Don't you feel like that sort of crept in here the last several years, Maz?
Oh, it absolutely has. I don't think there's any question. It's he's become more high maintenance is really what it is. It's that, you know, he wanted the Patriots to line up behind him and say, hey, Tom, you know, we really do. We believe you can play to 45, and we think you can still play at a high level. And instead, Belichick was saying, you know, while he's snorting out one nostril and breathing through the other, Belichick is looking at him saying, nobody plays till 45. You're nearing the end, pal. I got to think for the next player.
Okay, we got some meat on the bone today, folks. That Todd McShay thing, I think, is fairly significant. Okay, Jared Stidham not ready. Is that right? So then what's the plan? What are we doing? What are the Patriots doing? We're going to start up our draft talk late next hour. We'll throw markers at the draft magazine for the first time this year. We're going to take our time. We spend the next 2.5 weeks populating the Felger and Maz big board. Offensive guards, Greg Bedard, take your shirt off, man. Lube up and get ready. We're going to pick 3 fatties to put on the board. Again, we're all not in studio, our Town Fair Tire Studios, because of obvious conditions. So if you're watching the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, I'm in my backyard. We'll have my 8-year-old chuck markers at me here in the backyard, and we'll pick 3 guards. We'll do that. And I do want to get to the future of sports in the near term. There was a conference call with President Trump and the commissioners over the weekend. There was some reporting on it over the weekend, and we'll give the latest on that, kicked off by Brian Windhorst this morning, on the future of the near future, I should say, of the NBA. We'll do that after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials, and we're back to discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.